Welcome to This Week in Debian, the podcast that brings you the latest news and interviews inside the Debian community. Brought to you by FrostbiteSystems.com, providing desktops and notebooks pre-installed with Debian. Every purchase from Frostbite Systems, a portion of the proceeds will be donated back to Debian and help support this great project. So stop on by FrostbiteSystems.com and get your Frostbox today. Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us on This Week in Debian. Today we've got an exciting episode for you. We're speaking with Samuel Thibault, who's on the accessibility team of Debian. Samuel, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for inviting.
Oh, no problem. Samuel, the first thing I'd like to ask everyone that we interview is, how did you first get involved into Linux?
That's a long time ago. It was a friend of mine who discovered some CD in some magazine somewhere. There wasn't internet at the time in our village, and so we tried it and found that there was the source code, and so we could learn about things in that and learn how hardware would work, etc. So we got interested, and we continued that way since 15 or 20 years.
Wow. What was the first Linux distro that you used? Was it Red Hat, I'm assuming, or Slackware?
That was a Slackware, yes. And okay. Then we also tried Red Hat, and there was a Chaos distro as well, and Mandriva after that. But now I'm mostly into Debian, of course.
What country are you in right now?
I'm in France right now.
Okay. What's open source and Linux software like in your area of France? Do a lot of people know what Linux is? Do a lot of people use it or not use it? What's it like over there?
Well, actually, in the university here in Bordeaux, we actually do provide only Linux computers to the students.
Really?
There are a couple of Windows rooms for people who really want it, but there are just a few, and all our computer scientists only use Linux for their projects, etc.
Awesome.
So yes, they do know a lot about this, and there are a lot of activists in lib software who reside in Bordeaux, so yes, there is a strong community here.
I know Zach, the Debian project leader, he's in France in a school there. Are you relatively close to him? Do you speak with him a lot, or...?
Actually, there are a lot of people which I just discovered that they were closed to me, but I don't have contact with them, actually. I don't know where they are.
So, back to Debian then. After you discovered Linux and you had started using it, how did you discover Debian and get involved in the Debian community?
That was a quite long process in that I tried using Mandriva, as I said, and there were a lot of things that I wanted to tinker with, and it was more and more difficult to do this. And then somebody gave me a CD of Debian telling me, well, try this, and I found that it was really great to tinker, to parameterize everything the way I wanted. And when I joined a university just after what we call baccalauréat in France. I had an internet connection, so I could start really joining the Debian community in submitting bugs, submitting patches, and progressively join a couple of efforts in like translation or X11 bug fixes and things like this, and eventually I joined the accessibility team.
What brought you to the accessibility team? Because I spoke to you a few minutes before the interview, and you're a blind user. What I'm assuming, you know, you're a sighted person, and you know you can use the computer like a normal person. What made you want to be part of the accessibility team?
So actually, at the same time I got an internet connection, a permanent internet connection, I also met a friend of mine in our university who is blind and who is also a really geeky guy. I mean, he started using Linux by writing his own driver to make his Braille device work.
Wow.
So before using Linux, he had to know how to program it.
Oh my goodness. Yes. That's dedication.
So, So that's the way we got friends, of course, and we talked a lot about this, and he proposed me to start a project about providing an API for applications to write Braille on devices independently from the device, the driver, and things like this, just be able to push text and then be done. And so that's called BIL API, the Braille API, who is now used regularly on Linux and Windows.
Yeah.
And so by it's been 10 years since we started in 2001, and during that time I talked a lot with him to really understand the problems, the consequences of this and that, and there are some solutions which are not really good solutions, and etc. So eventually I have a bit of an idea of the problems and be able to solve it.
That's pretty cool. And you mentioned that you worked on the Braille driver. Do you do anything with, like, the Orca team, or have you done work in, like, SpeakUp or anything like that?
So the thing is, the accessibility stuff is split in a few groups, in that we, with my friend, are mostly working on the low-level parts, drivers and the API, and then Orca people use it. So, of course, we do exchange on the API. They ask us for being able to write dots and small details like this. But then they are doing all their reviewing stuff in the GNOME interface. And so we don't have to deal with that. There are people handling this.
Okay, so you're not working like directly with the GNOME accessibility team, you're doing like a lot more of the low level stuff that ties into the GNOME accessibility. I mean, do you guys work on any stuff like that, or is the Debian accessibility team more, you know, focused on this low level stuff, or when things crop up, you know, say within Orca or maybe like a magnification software or whatever, do you try and help out with that also?
So, well, our team, the Debian team, is mostly concerned with making things work smoothly for Debian users. That is, make sure that the default configuration works and things like this. So connecting everything together, mostly. Then when there are bugs and things like this, we just forward to the GNOME accessibility team, which we do know quite a lot. We have a couple of friends there, but the Debian team itself doesn't try to solve this because it's so complicated and we have so few people.
So could you give us an idea then of like the overall goal for the Debian accessibility team? Like, I know Debian is a pretty like upstream based kind of distribution. The work that you're doing, you're trying to push upstream so that, you know, all the other distros, I'm assuming, can benefit from, you know, the work that you guys do.
Yes, we almost do not apply any patches to our packages. We mostly make sure that they are integrated upstream, and then we apply them to Debian so that merging after the new release comes out is trivial. Our real goal is to have accessibility tools integrated into the standard process of Debian, like, and the standard installation CD is able to detect when a Braille device is connected and then automatically enable the screen reader for this. Ideally, for instance, if a Debian box was in some library or somewhere in a public place, you should be able to just plug in your Braille device and then get your Braille output. That's really the ideal goal. Or press a special shortcut to enable speech and then get speech reading, etc. That's really the goal, for people to just be independent from anything.
With the Braille driver that you have for Debian, does that work right away with like the installer? Can a blind person install Debian using the Braille display?
Yes. Just put the CD with the Braille device plugged in, and then it works.
Do you know which Braille devices are compatible?
Well, the list is extremely long there. It depends how you count this, but it's most of the models of of what is available. And actually, now that we have a Windows version of Braid DY, which is the drivers that we use, now that we have a Windows version of this that is more and more used by schools and people and this and that, and the manufacturers are actually sending us some devices before they are actually released on the market, so we can actually write the driver for them. So it's
cool.
Really working. Yeah, it's really working nowadays.
Yeah, that's what's great about, open source software and open source drivers. That's great that these display companies are jumping on board and asking for your input, basically.
Exactly.
Outside of the Braille, display, has the Debian accessibility team implemented any other technology that I might take for granted or didn't know that you guys had implemented it?
So the problem with accessibility is that the kind of issues that people may have is really, really diverse. And so Braille is one solution. We also have support for hardware speech synthesis. So you need a hardware board that you plug into your computer, or you plug through a serial port, and then you have hardware speech and synthesis. So this is implemented, and you have to enable it by hand because it cannot be detected. I tried but still failed to find the time and managed to discuss with the ALSA people and to get the software speech integrated into the Debian installer. We have an experimental image that has speech synthesis, software speech synthesis. There's also the high contrast installation theme. That is, when you enable it, you get nice white and black drawings and letters. So for people who have problems with contrast, it's a lot easier to read than the usual theme.
Yeah.
And so we could also implement other themes. It's up to people to request for some. And that's mostly it. There are a lot of things that could be done, like an integrated magnifier or things like this. It's difficult to integrate into the installer since there are size constraints and software stack constraints. Well, the thing is, now that we have GLE1 installer that is graphical based on XLE1 installer, it should be easier for us to try to integrate this, because that's then just mainstream accessibility tools.
And when I was speaking to you earlier, I was asking about like a talking installer, and you said the main goal is to not make a special version of Debian, but to actually implement it into the regular version of Debian. That way there wouldn't be a need to make a special version just for a talking installer. You'd like to be able to implement it.
Yeah. Because the thing is, when you get a CD from somebody, it's the standard CD. And also, all the derivative from Debian should also have accessibility enabled. It's not because you're doing some music stuff and using a music-oriented derivative of Debian that you shouldn't be able to use accessibility tools. So it's really important that it's integrated right at the root of everything.
When you're able to integrate this into the main Debian CD, is this a process that other distributions could follow to make their installation also be able to, for a blind person to install or a low vision person to install?
Yes, actually Debian is not the first one which has done such process. There was SUSE, so the SUSE distribution already had some few years ago already. Debian started a couple of years ago, first by integrating the Braille support and then the speech synthesis. there are some modified versions of Red Hat or Ubuntu and things like this with accessibility enabled. But yes, of course, it's a matter of getting people to talk with each other for integrating things properly so they remain there. It was quite long in Debian to get everything into the Debian installer. Just for instance, the beep that we now have when CD is booted and is at the boot menu, it took maybe a month or something of discussions, like 30 or 40 mails, just to discuss about how to do it properly, whether to enable it just for releases, etc., whether it will bother people. It's a really long process that is quite tedious, and people don't necessarily take the time to do it, but for me it's really important, so that's why I did it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if there's a way to make it so it's not in the way of, you know, sighted people or people that don't need any accessibility, but still there for the people that do need, you know, special help to get it, an operating system installed by themselves, that, you know, it doesn't get in the way of the sighted people, but it's still there for the other people that might need it.
Because typically, a blind guy can be at 2 o'clock in the morning and needing somebody who is sighted just to read something on the screen. That's really a situation that is not a good thing for people.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's, I mean, some, you know, some blind people, you know, might not really have the help at all. And if they don't, then what they can't, there's nothing they can do about it.
And yes, I just wanted to also talk about the integration, not only into the Debian installer, but also in other parts of the Debian distribution. That is, of course, the installation manual, but also the new maintainer guide, the bug tracker to add accessibility tags there. We also have tags for dev tags and things like this. There are a lot of areas where we can just integrate accessibility, just like internationalization was integrated, actually.
And when I was speaking to you earlier about the accessibility team mailing list, they said you have a few hundred people, but unfortunately there's only just a handful of people that actually contribute, right?
Yes. Well, there's also some statistics that I can't remember who made on the top posters of the list, and yes, there are two people mostly, and then a couple of others who are not really developers, but who are really knowledgeable users who contribute to the discussions, but without really contributing code.
What sort of help, that's what I'm assuming, the help that is mostly needed is actually contributing code, I assume, right?
Yes and no. There are a couple of documentation fixes that would be needed. The biggest concern we have is that there are a lot of packages that we could put into Debian, like speech synthesis and small tools like I discovered a virtual keyboard and virtual something, and a lot of handy tools that could be integrated, but of course that's a lot of packages that only two people cannot maintain by themselves.
Yeah.
So just packaging is already a good thing, as well as just packaging text equivalents of tools. For instance, for this interview, we are using Mumble, and it doesn't have a text equivalent in Debian. I don't know if one exists. If there is none, then somebody should take the time to export the code of Mumble into a library that both the graphical version and the textual version could make use of. And then the textual version is kind of more usable by a lot of people.
Yeah, no, I totally know what you're saying, because Mumble is built in the Qt library, and that is, unfortunately, like, completely inaccessible.
Well, for now, there is work in Qt to get accessibility. Actually, there is a whole framework in this, but it's not yet connected with a standard Orca screen reader.
Yeah.
It's mostly for technical and political reasons. It's just that it wasn't made, but we should get it in a few years, maybe.
Okay, so there actually is work being done on that then.
Yes, the work exists, so we shouldn't say that it's not accessible, but the thing is, right now, it's not connected to Orca.
I see. That's why it doesn't work. Okay. Is there anything else that the accessibility team is working on currently?
Question.
Oh, I'm sorry, what did you say?
No, it's just a good question. Mostly for now, we are moving to the ATSPI2 framework, which is precisely one of the things that are needed for LibQt to become accessible, which is using Dbus instead of the Bonobo Corba tool stack of GNOME.
Mm.
So we will not make the transition for Squeeze. We will wait for Wheezy because we're not sure how it will work, etc. So for now, we are not doing it right now, but we will have to go to it someday.
What was I going to say? I just came out of, I just totally lost what I was thinking of. I was looking at the Debian Pure Blends before, and it seems like there's going to be like an accessible Pure Blend. Do you know much about that?
Yes, I do. It's actually a long discussion. There is already an accessibility blend. The thing is, it's not meant to be exactly like other blends in that. For us, accessibility is really transverse. It should apply to any blend you would want to create. It's really orthogonal to any kind of things you want to do with a computer or something like this. Still, the tools used for blends are interesting in that we have a set of packages that we can group into some tasks like Braille, speech, things like this. And the interesting thing is that the tool can generate a web page with all the informations on the packages that are available, which is not necessarily so easy to find just by packages names or by the desktop cloud or things like this. It's more organized. We actually already had some kind of list like this on the wiki, but just using the blend mechanism is interesting. The danger, I would say, is to let people think that just adding the accessibility task to their distribution or their CD or system, etc., is just enough to get accessibility working. Ideally, it should be working that way, but there are always a lot of things that are not so easy. So yes, there is work on this, and we are talking with people on this, but it's really not a simple matter.
So it's not, when I looked at it, I don't even think the project had even started yet. Has there even been like an image of this accessibility blend, or is it still being worked on?
The thing is, there shouldn't be an image in that. It doesn't mean anything to say this is an accessible distribution. Saying this is an accessible generic purpose distribution, yes, it does make sense. It's just a generic purpose distribution which happens to have accessibility tools installed.
Mm.
It's really orthogonal to any kind of image that you wouldn't want to generate. And ideally, it should be integrated in all the images that you want to build.
Yeah, I agree.
So it doesn't mean something to say, yes, this is an accessible version of Debian. Debian itself should be accessible already.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's again, what the accessibility team is working on. You know, you don't want to to cause any more
ghettoization.
It's
really a strong word, but I really like, well, like sort of like to use it just to express the danger of putting accessibility stuff in some corner, saying this is handled there. No, it has to be handled everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Because you never, like you said before, you never know when you might, you know, run into someone who could use accessibility, and then you're like, oh wait, I only have the regular Debian CD. I don't have the accessible Debian CD. It should just be baked into the actual, you know, Debian distribution as of all the other distributions.
Yeah, for instance, at the university, if some blind student comes up, just a new student, and he has to do some work in our computer room, well, he should be able to just connect his Braille device to any computer in the room and don't have to do anything about it.
Yeah.
We are using the Ubuntu distribution, which actually inherits all the accessibility work that we do in Debian, so things that we do in Debian should get into the Ubuntu and then be available in our rooms in the university.
Even back to that point, you know, a disabled person or blind person that needs special help with a computer, they should be able to sit down at any computer and also be able to use it. You shouldn't, you know, the person shouldn't have to, you know, oh, we have this special computer over here for you. You can only use this one.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Or, sorry, you can't use any of our computers because we don't have any accessibility, you know, products or software on any of these computers.
Yeah, that's it. We usually, Debian installs all the internationalization and translations, and that's the same for accessibility, so that the user can just choose.
Yeah, exactly. I know Linux. The Linux distributions are more and more, you know, maybe some distributions don't pay attention to it as much as others. But, you know, for the most part, if you're using at least a GNOME version of a Linux distribution, there's a good chance, you know, at least Orca is installed already, and you can, you know, you can hopefully set up your Braille display and stuff like that. So,
Actually, it took some time to discuss with the Debian installer team to get Orca always installed by default when the GNOME desktop is chosen.
Yeah.
And so we discussed about this, that it should be installed so people can just pick it up even if the administrator didn't expect somebody to come out and then, oh, I need to install this. No, it should be installed by default. And one very good thing with the Debian community is that maybe a few months later or a year later, somebody filed a bug saying, well, we're only installing Orca. Is this really needed? And then the Debian installation team itself explained to that person, no, because this and this and that. We didn't even have, the accessibility team, we didn't have to explain that again.
Mm.
People had taken it into account and integrated into their process. So that's really a good thing in the Debian community, I think. People really get it.
Yeah, I've seen that a couple times before, and some distributions, they won't even have Orca installed. You'd have to install it through the package manager. You know, and if you have to do that, it's almost pointless, because if a blind person was by himself or herself again, they wouldn't even be able to do that, because they would need Orca to get to the package manager to install it.
Exactly. Exactly. So. That's a bootstrap problem, yes.
Yeah. And then sometimes there's even some distributions that have Orca installed, but they don't bother having, like, the GNOME speech package installed or like, with Festival or eSpeak. So Orca will start up, but there's no speech synthesizer, so... Again, that's, you know, kind of useless, you know?
Yes, well, I wouldn't say that Debian doesn't do this as well. But, well, that's the kind of thing people need to be careful with. Then there's just one detail. You do not necessarily have to install all the accessibility tools.
Mm.
There's kind of difference between the tools that you need to be able to use a computer and the tools that help you use a computer. For instance, people who are colorblind you can use a computer without really great problems. Then when dealing with some things, he might prefer to use some filters to recalibrate on the colors according to his eyes. And that's the kind of thing that, yes, that could be optional.
Yeah. Do you know...
Because you can install it afterwards. That's not the problem.
Do you know how... I don't know if you've seen this project or not, but I think it's pronounced Vedix. It's like V-E-D-I-C-S. And I think it's on SourceForge right now. And I'm not... I think they tried implementing it into Ubuntu. I'm not sure. But it's a voice recognition software that works in the GNOME desktop. And people can... You know, they can say accessories and then go to a program within accessories and it'll open. Or they can say sound and video and sound or whatever, and they can say Banshee and it'll pull up Banshee. Do you know, is Debian working with this Vedix team, or do you know if there's any other software Debian's working on with, like, voice recognition?
So I don't remember exactly, but I think we already have a couple of voice recognition software in Debian. Well, one issue, of course, is that you don't want to enable it by default, of
right.
course. But then another issue with speech recognition is that from a research point of view itself, there hasn't been really much progress since 10 years. That is, for really specialized things like, yes, accessories and a small set of words like this, it does work quite nice. But for general purpose use, the error rate is still between 10 and 20%, which is really a lot and not really usable for any kind of generic work. So... And research really has given up on this. There's no real research on this anymore because people have tried for a long time still and not managed to do anything. So, yes, for some usages, yes, it does work indeed and can be really, really useful. For now, we haven't worked on that topic yet. Well, also because of lack of manpower.
Yeah. I imagine it's tough with only a handful of people, you know, actually getting stuff done. And, you know, obviously you have a day job also and whatnot.
Yes,
so.
Of course.
Well, Samuel, is there anything else you'd like to cover that I might have overlooked or didn't cover on the accessibility team?
Yes, you actually reminded me to get more people involved. The thing that people need to know is they don't need any special kind of hardware to do tests and things like this. I myself don't own any Braille device or things like this because we've implemented a virtual Braille device integrated into Braille TTY, the set of drivers for Braille devices. So there's one which doesn't talk with a real device but shows a window with a virtual Braille device. And so that's why actually the Debian installation team can test the Braille support. There's a wiki page about this, how to start Braille TTY and then to start the installer in KVM with support for virtual Braille hardware. So there are two things, the virtual Braille device showing up on the screen and the virtual Braille hardware running emulated by KVM, and the two are connected through Braille API. So for instance, to test Braille output, you don't need any kind of hardware, you can just run this. Of course, for speech and synthesis, you don't need anything in particular, you just need a soundboard. There are a couple of things like people who can just press a button, and then there are special devices that just have a button. So this kind of device is maybe not easy to find. But still, you can work on some features using this kind of hardware, not having to find out where to find it. Just get to talk with people who have the needs to really understand the way they are working, etc. And then you can work without problems.
Is there like a website, an IRC room that people could go to if they want to start contributing?
So there's the mailing list, of course. There's a wiki page on the Debian website. So I can't remember exactly where, but from the wiki main page, you can search for accessibility, and then you should find it.
Okay.
There is also a website that I'm running with my friend, which is called brl.thefreecat.org. So the a cat that is free, just in one word. There are a couple of pointers and to some talks I made, how to test text applications and things like this. So if you Google BRL API, you should find it.
Okay. And they'll find a link to the mailing list on the wiki page too, the Debian wiki page.
Yeah.
Is there an IRC room or no?
I think there is, yes. We are not using it a lot because there are just two of us, and
yeah,
we have other IRC channels. But yes, there is a Debian accessibility IRC channel on OFTC, so people can join there. We are there, we just don't discuss at all.
Okay, yeah. Well, Samuel, is there anything else that you'd like to go over?
I think we're almost done.
Yeah,
Of course, there are a lot that we could talk about for accessibility, like how you can make your applications accessible, but that's other kinds of topics, and there are talks about this.
Yeah, maybe I'll have you on another time. I'd like to give a lot more time to that, because that would be very useful for a lot of developers, I think. And I'd like to know it myself, but I think that'd be great if developers would at least take into consideration making their applications, you know, more accessible, you know.
I would say that it's as easy as making an application translatable.
Hmm.
I mean, it's really the same kind of process. You have to be careful from the start, and then it's easy.
Okay, yeah, I'm definitely going to have you on again then, because I'd love to talk to you about that. Maybe we could get Mario on next time too, and we could. I'd like to talk about that again, definitely. All right, well, Sam, thank you for your time and your help, and let Mario know we thank him for his help and work, and like I said, hopefully next time we can get him on also, and I'd love to talk about building accessible applications. That'd be great.
Okay, thanks to you.
All right, thanks.
Well.
Thank you, Samuel. Thanks for your time. I appreciate it. Thank you for listening to This Week in Debian. If you know someone or you yourself are in the Debian community, please get a hold of us. We can interview you. If you'd like to get a hold of us, our email address is feedback@frostbitemedia.org. Again, that email address is feedback@frostbitemedia.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.